Hello, my name is Shani Tarragon. Welcome to Tarati Macha, Nach Yomi with the OU Women's Initiative. Today, we will be studying Sefer Kohelet, Perek Gimel, Chapter 3. We noted how the first two chapters introduce the reflection of the philosophical exposition of Kohelet. When Kohelet's attempt to find models of meaning leave him unsatisfied by the end of Chapter 2, he reluctantly resigns himself to the selfish, hedonistic model. As the very last verse of Chapter 2 taught us, Ki la'adam she'tov lefanav, for someone who is really seeking good in this world, natan chokhmah v'dat v'simcha, he should use his wisdom, but also pursue pleasure. Lachote, who is the sinner? Natan inyan le'esof v'lechnos latit le'tov lefnei halukim. Albeit, Rashi understands this as meaning the sinner is the one who hoards and doesn't give before God. Ibn Ezra understands that the sinner is one who hoards everything and even donates things to God. In other words, he doesn't use them for his own pleasure. Gam zehevel ro'ot ruach. Rather, he believes that, a priori, you really should use one's own gifts in this world for your own pleasure. If developing self-meaning by exerting oneself through actions or knowledge yields no meaningful gain, then Kohelet concludes, why look beyond the pursuit of personal pleasure? Recognizing man's limitations may be frustrating, but it's better to be realistic than to devote one's life to hollow venues lacking short and long-term meaning. Now we're going to see how Perek Gimel begins the philosophical elaboration on each one of these ideas. Perek Gimel, Chapter 3, is going to begin then with Shir Ha'itim, the speech of the intellectual hedonist. The Itim, known as the Song of Times, consists of 14 couplets of opposing phenomena. The poem's introductory pasuk, La kol zman ve'et l'kol chayfetz tachat hashamayim, to everything and to everyone there is a season, and there is a time to every phenomenon under the heaven. This expresses its message by declaring that every circumstance, every item, even those that we perceive as negative, has an appropriate predetermined time. Hashem imbued the world with a definitive equilibrium. Birth compensates for death, peace for war. The weather seasons are indicative of a broader fixed balance system. Even if we prefer summer or spring over winter, we realize that winter is both necessary and unavoidable. Just as we cannot alter the seasons, we also cannot change the balance of the world's extensive equilibrium that has all basically been predetermined. This structure can be highlighted through the actual literary structure of the Perek. After all, not only do we have seven couplets, each one representing the opposite of the other, but we also have a certain pattern. If we look at the various verses, beginning with Eit laledet ve'eit lamut, which means a time not to be born, but a time to give birth and a time to die. Different phenomena that are beyond our control, he's showing us that everything is beyond our control. Laledet, lata'at, positives. Followed by laharog, lafrotz, lafkot, svod, four negatives. Followed by lahashlich habanim, lachavot, lavakosh, lishmor, four positives. Lekroa, lachashot, two negatives. Lehov, and ending really with et melchama, but ultimately the positive of shalom shows us how there's a clear structure of positives and negatives that in fact are all predetermined. Man may attempt to end wars or reduce the birth rate have, as we know, but both have been proven unsuccessful. Even if they succeed in certain regions during a particular era, for long term, again, the global picture of the world remains the same. From this, we see that just as the Warsaw Treaties and NATO, like the preceding League of Nations, they're all ineffective, for they merely shifted wars to Asia and Africa, delayed them in Europe until the fall of the Soviet Union. Everything, basically, he says, is ultimately inevitable. There is et laledet. Whether you're trying to hold in the baby or not, there's a time to give birth, and there's a time to die. You do not control this, just like you don't really determine when you plant, you're responding to seasons. So too, when you pluck which is planted. Eid laharog, according to him, this is also predetermined. We don't really determine on our own when to kill. We're responding to circumstances, just as when we heal, a time to break down, a time to build up, a time to weep, a time to laugh. These are all responses, a time to mourn, a time to dance, a time to cast away stones at the end of war, but a time to gather stones together. When we're trying to fortify ourselves, a time to embrace, a time to refrain from embracing, a time to seek. We don't decide when to do that. Rather, we need to seek after something that's lost, just like Et La Bed. We never decide to lose something, but we respond to it. A time to keep and preserve, and a time to cast away. A time to rend, a time to sow, a time to keep silent, and a time to speak. A time to love. According to the philosophical speech here of the Nahantan, of the intellectual hedonist, there is a time to love. This always reminds me of the movie, the Truman Show, wherein he was told that he cannot basically fall in love with the one that he wants to fall in love because that wasn't predetermined by the producer. And that's exactly the point of Kohelet over here, that there is a time to love. We don't really control it. It's controlled beyond us, and a time to hate, a time for war, a time for peace. And what we see here is that everything is already in motion in this world, and man is merely responding to what God has set in motion. If that's the case, if everything is so structured, if everything is predetermined, then he reaches the conclusion in Pasuk Tet, Ma Yitron Ha'oseh Basher Ho'amel. Then what is the advantage? What is that Yitaron again, seen earlier as a key word in his thesis? Man gains nothing from his efforts. Man cannot change anything. And therefore, Ra'iti Atanyan Asher Natan Elokim Levnei Adam La'anot Bo, which brings us back to at the very beginning of Sefer Kohelet, where we saw almost the exact same pasuk in chapter 1, Perek Aleph, Pasuk Yud Gimel, V'natati Et Libi Lidrosh La'tor B'chochma Kol Asher Nasa Tachat Hashemayim Hu Inyan Ra Natan Elokim Levnei Adam La'anot Bo. He saw how man is just here, basically as a puppet. God puts us here to control us in this world. Notice how here he omits the word Ra. He realizes, you know, it's not so bad to be a doll in this world, to be a puppet. Because if you stop and think about it, Pasuk Yud Aleph, Et HaKol Aseh Yafeh Bi'ito. All of the predetermined actions of God already embedded in this world, they all work well at their time. Gam et ha'olam natan b'liba mebli asher lo yimsa ha'adam et ha'masa asher asah ha'lukim mirosh v'yatzof. And man recognizes on his own that he'll never be able to figure out the ends of this world. And therefore, yadati kein tov bam kim lesmach v'laso tov b'chayav. If everything is predetermined and I can't really change or alter the course of this world, then I may as well sit back, relax, and enjoy. That's going to be not only the conclusion, but the proof here of the intellectual hedonist side of Kohelet. If a man trying to realize that there's nothing that he gains from his efforts, many might find the reality of man's incapacity depressing. Kohelet here finds it quite liberating. If man indeed cannot change the world, then evidently he's free to enjoy it. Man need not seek anything beyond his own pleasure. In fact, a life of hedonism should not be viewed as irreverent. To the contrary, by creating a world man is unable to affect, God is indicating the role that he intends for man. He wants man to be a passive consumer. Man's pleasure is God's will, as he says in verses 12 and 13. Gam kol adam sheyochal v'shata v'ra'a to b'chol amalo matat Elokim hi. God wants him to enjoy. During the past centuries, this religious hedonism has replaced the austere medieval ascetic view of religion. Many religious adherents, particularly in Western cultures, no longer see religious devotion as demanding a rejection to corporeal physical pleasures. God is recognized as provider and controller, but not as a deity intimately involved with man. Not all of the hippies of the 60s were rebelling against God. Many were merely opposed to traditional understandings of his will. For them, the Woodstock retreat, for example, expressed their belief that man was accountable for no more than his own enjoyment of this world. Biblical precedent for this philosophy can be found in Hashem placing Adam and Chava, Adam and Eve, in Gan Eden to enjoy the various delicacies that he created in anticipation of man, La'ovda, L'shomra, of man living in this world. His one responsibility, the one responsibility of man, was to accept God's authority regarding exactly what would be eaten. But man was meant to enjoy. Pasuk Yud Aleph gives this positive spin to the poem's objective data by depicting God's creations as yafeh, they're beautiful. Such a structured, predetermined world and is wonderful, he says. In fact, the usage of this word in place of the word ra, which distinguishes the psukim that framed the poem, and tells us that he no longer believes what he believed in chapter 1, verse 13. It's really not bad. A careful study of the poem's couplets confirms this conclusion by recognizing that even though the poem maintains a symmetry by presenting an even number of couplets that open positively, again, the birth versus death, and negatively, war versus peace, it begins with a positive clause of Eit Laledet, and it concludes with a negative one, which is actually Eit Melchama ve'Eit Shalom, the last word, just like the first word. Birth and peace yield a positive statement. From here, we see that the second part of Perek Gimel uses the poem's outlook, his philosophical laboratory, as I like to call it. Now he's going to show us that this actually works as he rejects the models of meaning that were presented in the introduction. The first four psukim of psukim Yudalit through Yudzayin reject the activist model, while the second four, Yudchet through Chaf Aleph, reject the ideal of personal development through wisdom. Let's begin with the activist model. Pasuk Yudalit. Yadati ki kol asher yaaseh Elokim hu yeh la'olam, alav ein lahosif o mimenu ein legroa, ve'Elokim asa sheyiru milfanav. God's placement of man in a world whose problems he cannot solve and whose course cannot be altered aims to ensure his respect of God. Rabbeinu Bachaye cites this poem of Shir Ha'itim of Eit Laledet Eit Lamut as an expression of perfect faith because it asserts man's inability to alter the God-mandated equilibrium. Although man is horrified by and inspired to correct injustice, he should not see himself as responsible for fixing what he cannot. Only God can protect and punish. That's Pasuk Tedvav, Mashaya Kvarhu, Vasher Liot Kvarhaya, Velukim Yavakesh Et Nirdaf. It is not up to man to pursue justice. As a matter of fact, Pasuk Tzayin, verse 16, the Ode Ra'iti, he now is going to show us, beyond the philosophical laboratory, how practically this actually works in this world, that man does not control. The Ode Ra'iti Tachat HaShemesh, Mikom HaMishpat Shama HaResha, where you would expect justice, you see a lot of iniquity. Umikom HaTzedek Shama HaResha, the place of righteousness, that's actually where you see a tremendous amount of wickedness. So what do I see from here, concludes the voice of the intellectual hedonist of Kohelet, Amarti ani b'libi et ha-tzadik v'et ha-rasha yishpot ha-elukim ki eit l'kol chayfet v'al kol ha-maaseh sham. Basically, there is no justice in this world. It's whatever God has predetermined. There will only be, again, justice based on God's perception, sham. And God, as he tells us, is going to be the only one who exacts justice, because man attempts to achieve justice, but it's generally incomplete. And as we know, through the court system, through any legal system, very often man fosters greater injustice. How many innocent people are mistakenly punished? How many criminals exploit the system meant to protect the rights of individuals and evade penalty for their crimes? The combination of the need to strike an impossible balance between conflicting values, the necessity to translate these principles into a code of law, and pure human error make it impossible for systems of justice to be comprehensively effective. Man needs to recognize his incapacity, and rely on God's post-mortem justice. And therefore, he says, only God really determines justice. Well, if that's the case, then we understand that one should sit back. And this is his whole point here, recognizing that it's determined by God. So, and I may as well do whatever I want to do, because God will make sure that in this world of predetermined justice, that's what is going to happen. And therefore, he says, it doesn't bother me that there is a phenomenon of tzaddik v'ra lo, After having finished and learned Sefer Iyov, we definitely relate to the questions of theodicy. He basically says, but there isn't really a world of theodicy. It's all been predetermined. It's a deistic world. It's not really a theistic world. And therefore, he says, looking at this world and looking at the system of justice, that's my conclusion. I realize that if someone who is innocent ended up in prison, that meant that it was predetermined by God that he should end up in prison. And similarly, I also realize, he says, that man's attempt to enrich himself through wisdom is also futile. Although we prefer to highlight our intellectual superiority over the animals, death negates this distinction. He says, in the end, we are all like animals. In what sense? Verse 19, Ki mikre b'nei hadam u'mikre ha-behima u'mikre echad lahem. We all have the same happenstance occurring to us. What is that? Kimot ze. Kain motze, just like animals die, we're going to die too. The ruach achad lakol, and we all have the same spirit. Umotar ha'adam min ha'behema ayin. As we recite in the introduction to Karbanot every morning, what is the yitaron of man over animal? Ayin, it's nothing. Hakol havel, we live and die like animals. We have similar life functions. We're going to die. Hakol holech ha'makom achad. We all go to the same place. Right? For all we know, dogs go to heaven. Hakol hayam min hafar, hakol shav min hafar. Regarding the notion of the survival of man's spirit and its ascent to heaven imbued with the legacy of terrestrial accomplishment, Kohelet demands conclusive proof. He says, Mi yodea ruach b'nei hadam ha'ulahi lamala v'ruach ha'behema ha'yoredet hi lamata la'aretz. Do you know that man's spirit goes up all the way to shamayim and that the animal spirit goes down? V'ra'iti ke'in tov ma'asher yismach hadam b'ma'asav. So you see, we should really live like animals. Just sit back, relax, and enjoy. Ki hu chalko. That's what man predetermined. That's what God predetermined for man. That's what man should do. God created a whole system of predetermined actions, responses of man. Ki mi yivyenu lirot b'mashia acharav. And we don't know of olam haba. We don't know, he says, of any other world. We don't know what's going to happen to him afterwards. Man cannot be expected to devote his life to a notion that he has no way of confirming. In conclusion, man need look no further than his own pleasure. One who lives to enjoy is fully cognizant of his limited ability and knowledge. That, in fact, he says, is really what the world is about. That must be following the will of God. Thank you for studying together. Li'iloi Nishmat, Malka Esther, Batzvi Yosef, Zechorna Levracha.